FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Auren Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Auren is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Auren's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Auren's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Auren trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to aurenresources.com. That's A-U-R-Y-N resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 2/19/19. Where I'm sitting from, it's 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. So what could be wrong with the world? Everything is going great. Hey, well, the shutdown ended. What was the aftermath of the shutdown? Where do we go from here? What effect did it have on the economy, on your ability to earn a living? Well, going to answer a lot of these questions and more. Our good friend David Scranton is with us. David has been on the show many times. We've been talking about a lot of economic issues. And David, of course, welcome. And when we look at the effects of the shutdown, they're not too staggering economically. Obviously, if you do business with the government, you are hurt. And if you relied upon the government for payments, for contractor fees, et cetera, you took a minor hit. But long term, what's the net result of this shutdown? Partial shutdown, I should say.
Well, the net result is that it ended up costing our economy in terms of lost GDP more than it would have if Congress just approved President Trump's wall in the first place. Now, hindsight's 2020. You never know going into these things how long it's going to take and how much it's going to cost. But it very well could make our GDP numbers for the first quarter of the year pretty much flat. Whereas we had some decent numbers last year, one quarter, we were actually over 4 on the GDP growth, annualized that is, and everyone got excited about that. So unfortunately, first quarter this year is going to be lackluster, and it means we got to wait till second quarter before we can really tell what's going to happen, what's really happening with the economy. Those numbers won't come out until sometime in August. So unfortunately, it makes even the stock market a little bit more difficult to predict and to look at because, you know, again, be the middle of August before we actually have a feel for real GDP that's unaffected by the government shutdown.
Interesting. Well, the stock market has been doing quite nicely. It had a huge, and I guess I spell that with a Y, huge increase in January. And look, I'm sure you somewhat of a believer in the January effect, right? So right now, stock market's down just under 26,000, but it's been moving pretty seriously back to recovering the lost ground. Even if it doesn't start making new highs, it still seems to be indicating that that positive things are happening in the economy, if you can believe it, that is.
Yeah, it's interesting because last year, for at least the first half of the year, the market seemed to shrug off any bad news in favor of good news. Then after we got past Labor Day, it seemed to be shrugging off any good news in favor of bad. And I think now it's switched back. And I think the biggest reason that happened was the change in tone of the Federal Reserve. You know, the concern, my biggest concern, you know, everyone's talking about China and everything else, and that's an issue, but But my biggest concern was really, will the Federal Reserve create the next recession? And it seems now, after their announcement going back 2 or 3 weeks, as though they've smartened up and they're going to keep hands off. So as long as they haven't done any irreparable damage so far, then the stock market's saying, all right, well, that's the biggest issue now off our plate. And it's back to focusing on optimism instead of pessimism.
Yeah. And look, profits are good. I mean, I'm the first one to say, I think a lot of this so-called prosperity that we've undergone over the past 10 years, since the Great Recession, since the crash, it was illusory and not real. But you can't argue with those employment numbers. You can't argue with the new claims for unemployment insurance being down. Those are pretty solid. Yes, you can argue with how unemployment is being measured under U1, but it's down under U3 and it's down under U6. And I think the other thing, which is harder to measure and a lot harder to track, is underemployment. But it seems to me, David, that has diminished as well.
Yeah, and that's the illusory factor that you were discussing. And I agree completely. But even if someone doesn't buy into that or doesn't care about that, you still have the element that it's artificially stimulated. It was artificially induced with really no budget in sight in terms of how we're going to stop this mountain of national debt that keeps accruing. And my biggest disappointment, you know, with the whole thing with the government shutdown, wasn't the shutdown per se.
They reopened. They reopened. That was my argument, was that they reopened.
Well, yeah, the biggest thing wasn't even the wall. And I understand the importance of national security and so on. But the reality is that my bigger concern was the national debt. To me, the government shutdown should have been. I would have been a bigger supporter of it if it were shut down because of not having a budget and forcing Congress's hand to say, let's get a budget put together, guys. You can't just sit here and spend money you don't have, because it sounds good on paper that you can spend your way out of recession. You could spend your way into a recovery, which is basically what happened over the last decade. Like I said, even if you don't buy into the illusory argument, and I do, you still have this artificial argument to deal with. But at the end of the day, you can't spend your way out of it forever. Eventually, there's going to be a hiccup in the economy and things are going to turn. And right now, there's really nothing in sight in terms of us getting this budget balanced. So that's my bigger long-term concern. And I think at some point, the markets will turn around and look back at that. But right now, they're on a bit of a sugar high because the economic numbers on the surface, as you indicated, do look well. They look really strong. And also because the Fed has finally seem to have gotten the memo that they need to stay out of the way.
Yeah, they're extremely dovish, let's face it. I mean, what else can you say about what they're doing? But looking at the price of gold, which perhaps is not the best indicator, but perhaps not as distorted as some, we've seen the price of gold going up recently. So that could be a reflection of political instability at any point on the globe. Who knows? And, you know, it broke 1300 again. It's a magical resistance number from the people I follow, 1363. It's at 1338 right now. And the gold, and also relative strength-wise, it's way up there. And trading pattern-wise, which is something I track, the trading patterns have changed in it. Gold stocks going up. You know, you just see a lot of stuff here, and you got to shake your head, David, and say, you know, is this a sign of debt, political instability, or all of the above?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of the above, but it's also the fact that we've got a lot of money chasing everything right now. Think about it. You know, the stock market's done really well over the last several years. Metals have done, you know, decent recently, as you indicated. And then at the same time, long-term yields went down. So money flowed into bonds. Mm-hmm. So, and part of that's because of all the printing of money that that the central banks around the world have done. There's more money in circulation, and it's simply not being spent the way it was or the way the government would hope to stimulate the economy. And that money's got to find a place to go. So it's going into gold. It's going into bonds. It's going into stocks. It's going into everything all at the same time. And that's what's supporting our markets. That money has to go somewhere until the fear gets so bad that all of a sudden money just goes to cash and sits there. But that's a big part of the reason we haven't seen that so far, because there's just a lot of money out there looking for a place to be put.
Yeah. Looking for a home, and hopefully a friendly home where capital is respected and appreciated, no pun intended. And, you know, I was just on a conference with a guy by the name of E.J. McMahon, and we were talking about what's happening in New York, and New York is an economic disaster area, even though it appears to be growing at this particular moment for the same reasons: debt out of control, infrastructure, rapid deterioration, especially the subways and bridges and tunnels and roads. And nobody seems to want to do anything about it, David. Just the only two people left in the world who apparently care about such matters and reject modern monetary theory, which says basically debt doesn't matter and you can print till the cows come home and they'll never come home, is you and me. We seem to be the only two people that have any concern over this.
Well, you know, even Keynes back in the day said, you know, any particular governmental entity will not be able to borrow or print money indefinitely. Eventually, there'll be a day of reckoning. And then he quipped that, of course, I won't be alive when that happens.
He was right about
that. But even he realized that back in the day. It seems like, you know, we tend to select the things we want to hear and forget the words of wisdom from him that we don't want to hear. And maybe it's just the human nature, but even he knew that this was going to rear its ugly head at some point.
Yeah. And it's going to, and it's just a question of when, and it's going to be a disaster. The only way the U.S. gets a handle on its debt is if it sells the half of California that the federal government owns, probably to the Chinese. And, you know, do we want them owning half of California? That's an issue for another day. But asset sales, I mean, the government's got 500,000 cars that it doesn't use every day. It's got tens of thousands of private aircraft that it doesn't use. And I don't know if you remember that Grace Commission report once upon a time, but it's not for want of all these worthy programs that are so-called worthy that are getting funded. It's all the waste, profligacy that is going on here in the government that nobody, Trump does care about it. I mean, he did like confront Lockheed and Boeing and get them to lower prices somewhat, but that has to be done on a massive scale throughout everything the government does. I mean, the government is just going to destroy us here if we sit back and do nothing, David.
Well, I mean, you know, there's corruption in every government. You know, we need to be grateful that we're not Greece. You know, that you know, basically what ended up happening over there was the fact that there was a lot of corruption, and there's a lot of other things going on that created that. But we're always going to have some. We're always going to have a little bit of the good old boy network in terms of how people accept bids on behalf of the U.S. government. And then ultimately there's the question, you know, do we have people in the right places? Do we have resources in the right places in the government? And, you know, it was, you know, who knows if JFK Airport hadn't gotten shut down, the government might still be closed. You never know.
Yeah.
And that's become pretty important, air traffic control and everything.
And those guys were right. I mean, look, you can't use these guys as political pawns. But obviously that's what they were doing. And once air traffic safety came into issue, that was the end of the shutdown. Everybody had to, you know, kind of get together and admit this, all right, we had our fun. Now let's get serious. Let's reopen it and let's get this thing done. But I think that was the straw for sure. And anybody, any government worker, even though that's often an oxymoron, because, you know, government and work kind of don't really go together. But, you know, anybody who's out there, like, purportedly working has got to get paid. You know, your employees, what would happen if you didn't pay them for a month? David, do you think they'd stick around because they love you so much?
You certainly find out who's loyal and who's not. And that would take a lot of loyalty because, you know, in today's day and age, a lot of people, you know, in spite of people like us that are always preaching financial stability and conservatism, there's a lot of people out there that are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And they simply can't afford to go 4 weeks without pay. They can't do it.
Yes.
And that's the challenge, you know. I mean, congressmen still get paid. Everybody gets their money. So it was an unfortunate thing. Hopefully we won't see that again. And I believe the real purpose for a potential government shutdown, I've always said this, so that to me, we simply should stop paying our congressmen and congresswomen until they come up with a balanced budget. Like, okay, you're not going to get your paychecks until you figure this out and come back to us and let's get it all figured out. And you'll see how fast they move all of a sudden when they have skin in the game. But yeah, as long as they're allowed to, you know, spend taxpayers' money without essentially being a fiduciary, which is what we think they are or hope they are. But as long as they can spend taxpayer money without that, then we'll be seeing this over and over again periodically in the future.
Yeah. Hey, let's see them not get paid. Let's see their staffs not get paid and their staffs be prohibited from coming to work. All of a sudden, you'll see fiscal sanity like you've never seen in your life before, David, once they get directly affected. And, you know, they should be the first people who get cut off, not the guys working the border, not the guys working TSA, although they should be privatized anyway. They shouldn't be government workers, and certainly not air traffic controllers. That's just the whole notion of it. Disgusting. Well, looking ahead,
yeah,
we're going to have a crisis before this thing gets worked upon, or can we just keep skidding and printing more money and telling the rest of the world to just subsidize our stupidity?
Well, right now, the problem is so much of the world is functioning on these fiat currencies that have no backing. And, you know, there's a lot of fiat currencies that have to fail before we do.
Yeah.
So
like all of them,
you know, the good news. Yeah. And the good news is that, you know, we've got a long ways to go before that happened, but it will happen. And whether it's going to affect your grandchildren or your great grandchildren or your great great grandchildren, it is going to affect one of those generations down the road. And unfortunately, that's the nature of my comment, that the politicians simply aren't, acting as fiduciaries as they need to be. By the way, have I ever told you, Kerry, where the word politics comes from?
I thought it had something to do with plumbing and sewers in Rome. No.
Actually, it comes from the Greek word poly, which means many.
Yeah.
And then ticks, blood sucking organisms.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. All right. I thought it had to do with some kind of subterranean sewage removal. So forgive me for my ignorance there, David.
Close enough.
Well,
close enough.
You know the difference between a white rat and a politician?
Well, not much.
I should say a rat and a politician. There are some things a rat won't do.
Well said. Yeah. I love it.
But you know,
little humor, little midweek humor.
Yeah. Hey. Well, we need all we could get because you know what Will Rogers said: every time Congress passes a law, it's a joke, and every time Congress makes a joke, it becomes a law. So you know that's where we're at now. Here, sad state of affairs, but the way democracies are programmed, and it's the same all over, is they're reactive organisms. And it was better when they reacted in a limited fashion. But now that we have unlimited government, then the government's free to react in any way it pleases to any problem that it perceives as occurring. And that's when the fun begins. Anyway, David, where do we find you these days? How do we connect with you on the web?
Best is go right to soundincomestrategies.com. Soundincomestrategies.com is our website. Or to get my book, it's returnononprinciple.com. And principle ends in PLE.
Yeah, which is the way it should be. Great point. Hey, questions, comments, you want to get involved in the show, email us, kl@carrylutz.com. And if you are listening on the podcast channel or any website, just click subscribe, like, and share. On YouTube, same thing, subscribe, like, and share. We can drum that in and just program people to do it. More of you will get the message. More of you will hear these ideas, which you are not going to find on the mainstream media, which is what it's all about, which is why we're here. David, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.